Fringe to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids in a post-Christian era in which we have slowly but surely abandoned the Christian roots of 2,000 years of influence upon the Western world. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me today. And I'm guessing that if the average Christian from the 17th century, the 18th century, from the 1830s, the 1920s, 1950s, visited Justin Bieber's church and had a conversation with Justin Bieber, whether he had his shirt on or his shirt off, they would be shocked at what they saw. Justin Bieber just told a fan that homosexuality should be accepted in the church. And the latest news, I get these updates from time to time for some reason, and I don't even know who Justin Bieber is.
It's because you're are following him.
I'm not following him, Bill.
Yeah,
I have no idea who this guy is.
Fan of his music and
oh, he does music?
Let's feign ignorance on who Justin Bieber is.
I don't think I've ever heard a song from Justin Bieber, but Justin Bieber just got his grace tattooed on his face. So I guess
I thought it was above his eyebrow. Yeah, right eyebrow.
I guess he's got tattoos on his torso, his arms. He's got the words Son of God across his chest. Words forgive, believe, and purpose tattooed all over his body, as well as a menagerie of animals, a lion, a bear, a tiger, an eagle, an owl, et cetera, et cetera. There's also a castle. There are eyes. There are clouds and various odds and ends tattooed all over his body. And he is a professing Christian. Now, some of this may be confusing to Christians, but friends, please understand that there has been forms of antinomian cultic Christianity for 2,000 years. In fact, I did a search of early Christian cults or Christian variations, many of which were antinomian libertine cults in the early centuries of the church. So it shouldn't be a surprise to find strange cults collecting around Christianity in our day. There were the Marcionites. The Marcionites came from Marcion, who denied Old Testament teaching and believed that the Old Testament God was a cruel God and was not the God represented in the New Testament.
Almost like a Zoroastrian view that there are two gods at war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are the Marcionites, the Valentinians, the Carpocratians. Bishop Irenaeus of Lyons said that members of the Carpocratians were encouraged to experience everything there is in life so they would not have to reincarnate to experience what they had missed out on, and that includes forms of immorality. Irenaeus also spoke of the Carpocratians priding themselves in being above the moral law, having transcended the material realm and human conventions. The Carpocratians' notoriety was rekindled in the 20th century with the discovery of the secret Gospel of Mark, a purported more spiritual version of the canonical Gospel of Mark. It was mentioned by Clement of Alexandria as well, who accused the Carpocratians of falsifying it to support their libertinism. The secret gospel turned out to include a scene in which a naked Jesus gives instructions to another naked man, and this hint of homosexual encounter was used by the Carpocratians to justify a gay lifestyle to a society far less tolerant than ours. Okay, so that would be an online description of the Carpocratians. So friends, again, you know, what we're seeing today with various sects and cults coming out of evangelicalism is no different than what they had in the early church.
It's all form. It's all part of the Gnostic movement.
Yes.
Gnosticism was that there is secret knowledge. And usually they denied the physical and emphasized the spiritual aspect. So therefore it gave license to physical expression. And you could do anything you wanted to.
Immoral expression. On that. The only account we have of the practice of the Phibionites, also called the Barbarites, come from Epiphanius, a heresy guy, writes on heresies in the early Christian church. We should be aware of the possible exaggerations, outright calumny in the biased account, but Epiphanius relates that as a young man in Egypt, two attractive Phibionite girls once attempted to convert him into joining their sect. He rejected their advances, but went on to familiarize himself with their writings. Epiphanius claims knowledge of the rituals, all lurid details. And I don't want to get into any more of it because there's adultery, there's sexual stuff. And in the midst of all the sexual stuff, they declare the sexual rites as being part of the body of Christ, quote unquote. And the reason for the sexual rituals was the Fabianites believed this world is separated from divine reality by 365 heavens. So to reach the highest world, the Fabianite redeemed must pass through all 365 heavens two times. So these are just examples of weird antinomian sex, Marcionite, Gnostic sex that did not allow for a biblical approach to things. So in a post-Christian age, this means we're going to have post-Christian sacraments and post-Christian culture. What did cultures look like before Christians arrived? They cannibalized. They drank blood. They prostituted their daughters. That is, they really didn't care who their daughters had sex with. They tattooed themselves. They body pierced themselves. They cremated bodies, et cetera, et cetera. That sort of thing has happened throughout history. And as we consider what the Bible would say about this, I've written a book called The Tattooed Jesus. And finally answer the question, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus tattoo Leviticus 19:28 on his left thigh? The answer is clearly no, he wouldn't. The simple answer to the question, what would Jesus do, is very simply the will of God. Jesus would obey his Father's will, as expressed in Scripture. He would not commit adultery. He would not murder. He would not eat blood. He would honor his parents, and he would not tattoo Leviticus 19:28. On his left thigh. And do remember that the apostles dealt with this very clearly in Acts 15. In Acts 15, the apostles came together and made the decision that indeed they would not participate in universal pagan cultural traditions, including the consumption of blood. And do remember that even the very first Christian martyrs, like Biblios, this is reported in Eusebius, Biblios said, no, no, we don't cannibalize as Christians. Who could do such things as devour humans who consider it unlawful even to taste the blood of irrational animals? So yes, even the early Christians understood. The early Christians understood that you follow in the command of Acts 15 and you don't participate in these practices. Leviticus 19:26 warns us about the consumption of blood, as does Leviticus 17:10-14. Leviticus 19:26 says, hey, we don't get involved in the practice of divination. We don't make cuttings on our flesh for the dead. We don't tattoo marks on the body, and we don't prostitute our daughters. That's just basic. That's just basic Christian life. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to interact with the question of cremation and human composting. That makes no generations. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare, and Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also in studio with me right now as we take a look at a new practice. Bill, this is from Washington State. Washington State is on the verge of legalizing human composting. You know what that is?
In other words, they're going to try to recycle the body. They're going to mix the body in with the soil for fertilizer.
That's it. Yeah. So, Bill?
It's not much different than what the Nazis did when they just they had their crematoriums and they killed thousands of people daily in Poland. In fact, a recent article says that we've underestimated the number of people that they kill per day. It was often thought and reported that it was 6,000, but it's now shown to be closer to 15,000.
They were mass producing the destruction of human life.
Yeah.
Not just human bodies, but human life.
And life.
I think we need to distinguish that.
Yeah.
The first problem is that the modern world doesn't respect life.
No.
And that's the problem with abortion. That's the problem with abortifacients.
Right.
That's the problem with a mass production of euthanasia and suicide, medical suicide, that is coming, that's already here and is about to be mass produced.
It devalues life, and therefore the body is discarded or viewed as nothing more than the material.
Yeah.
And so there's a different view that Christians have. I mean, the Egyptians, for example, the Egyptians spent a great deal of time preserving the body because they thought that it would be necessary to enter into the next life. Whereas the Nazis discarded bodies by the thousands. Mm-hmm. They piled up bones. They used them in compost.
Well, that's an evolutionary worldview.
It is.
They're just treating humans like animals because they don't believe that human life
is any different.
That is not just the human soul,
right?
But the human body as well,
right?
Is to be respected. Why? Because
it is the
human body, soul
creator.
Is made in the image of God. That's right, in the image of the Creator.
Yep. And so there's these extreme views on how to treat the body, and it's only the Christian who has a complete worldview on the body, and that is that yes, it is more than just an animal. It is to be respected. It is to be treated with respect, and that's because it is life, and life is valuable. Life comes from the Creator, and to show respect and honor to the Creator, you honor His creation.
Now, we want to distinguish between what the Word of God had said about things like cannibalizing, drinking blood, prostituting daughters, and so forth, and cremation,
now,
or
this,
the issue of burial.
This is going to be interesting.
This is going to be a little more controversial. But may I say first that the Bible has much less to say, or at least the Bible is not as direct in this issue of burial. We can't find a command or a prescription that speaks of and requires the burial of the body. There are examples throughout Scripture, many, many examples of the burial of the body, including the burial of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, which resurrected the very next day. So we have the examples of Scripture, but we don't have a command from Scripture relating to burial. Now, let me say where I am. I believe that burial is preferred over cremation. So I believe it is a Christian cultural emanation from a Christian worldview. You do things for reasons. What are the things we believe? And given that we believe these things, what do we do? And Christians through the centuries have buried the body. And I think the reason is because we believe in an imminent resurrection. Why bother dismantling the body, realizing that the body will be used? It will be the seed that will be developed into the resurrected body. That is, we plant the seed, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, plant the seed, and that seed is resurrected into a heavenly body. And so if the Christian is thinking imminent resurrection, then he is thinking, why not bury the body? For the body is going to come in handy tomorrow. The body will be resurrected tomorrow. Now, of course, that's assuming the imminent resurrection, but that's that hope that is within us. Now,
our
resurrection may not be tomorrow. It may be the day after, and it may be the day after that.
Right.
But it's still something we imminently expect as the resurrection hope for Christians.
But then why do we spend so much money and put into the body chemicals to preserve that body.
Well, we don't have to do any of that.
You don't have to do that.
The expense that's required by modern technology or modern tyrannical governments is not anything that's been imposed by Scripture.
Yeah. And so I've actually had, the reason this is fascinating to me is because I've had debates with close friends who say that cremation is wrong and it's unbiblical. And yet they can't point, as you pointed out, they can't point to a particular passage of Scripture. And I say, well, okay, what about those who die at sea? We bury them at sea. How about those who die in horrific explosions or in war on the battlefield and their remains are never recovered? You know, yes, we should honor the body, but I don't have an objection if somebody chooses to be cremated and they say, you know, I don't care what happens to my body. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that body is going to disintegrate over time anyway. It goes back to the dust of the earth, or it becomes, you know, disintegrated.
Unless there's an imminent resurrection.
But those bodies of the martyrs of the first century, those bodies have long been disintegrated.
And I think we should say that God
will be resurrected in a glorified body. I don't question that. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Those Christians who died in the crematoriums of the Nazis, they're going to be resurrected. So I'm not so hung up on the preservation of the body or the method of burial or the disposal of the body, as long as it is honored as this is the creation of our God and our Father, our Creator, and it needs to be treated with respect. So correct me if I'm wrong on that one, Kevin.
Well, one thing is for sure, God is able to resurrect the body in whatever form it is to be found.
He can make stones cry out. He can resurrect bodies.
Absolutely. And there has to be something to be resurrected. So there must be something of a body to be resurrected, and God is able to do it in whatever form the body is found in. I would allow for exceptions, for pandemics, for example.
Right.
There are times when you just have, you know, maybe 2/3 of the population dies inside of a week. What do you do to be sure that those that are still around remain alive? I think there are instances in which, yeah, the burning of the body may be required, but I would call it more of an exception to the rule. I'm persuaded by 1900 years of Christian practice. And to be honest with you, Bill, I'm a bit skeptical about the wisdom of the modern age that seems to be wanting to migrate back to pagan practices.
Okay. Yeah, and again, I don't think I have an objection to cremation because of those exceptions. Now, you don't make good law to the exception, but because of exceptions such as, you know, loss at sea, mm-hmm. you know, or pandemics, mm-hmm. or, now, I mean, for example, we've spent a lot of time and effort in retrieving the even partial remains of soldiers who've died in battles, say, in North Korea.
And that's appropriate.
And it's appropriate because you want to honor the dead. You want to honor God's creation. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But again, I don't have necessarily an objection to those who choose
but
to be
cremated.
But you
would have problems with this human composting.
I would have a definite problem with the human composting because it is treating humans as animals. Mm-hmm. It doesn't treat them as what God calls us, created just a little bit lower than the angels, but above the animals.
Well, I've asked my children to bury me with a button that says, resurrect me. I'm ready. I'm waiting. Yeah, yeah. I'm standing in line. Resurrect me, Lord.
I don't think he's going to have to be reminded by your button.
Probably not. Probably not, Bill. I love the Johnny Cash song I played for you this morning. One sunny morning will rise, I know. And I'll meet you further up on down the road. That's pretty much the way that Christians need to see things. We need to live with a resurrection motif. I think if anything, we believe in the resurrection, And whether it's burial or some other act, it should be an act of faith, because it's our faith in the resurrection that directs our lives. It should direct our clothing. It should direct the smile on our face.
Yeah.
It should direct the gleam of hope in our eyes. It should direct everything about us, Bill. I mean, that's the fundamental, isn't it? We are resurrection people. One sunny morning, we'll rise, I know, and I'll meet you further on up the road.
You know, I'm reminded of the movie back in the 70s, Soylent Green. It was a movie Charlton Heston played in, and Edward G. Robinson and Joseph Cotten, classic actors. And it was an apocalyptic movie in which they were running out of food, and they had made this food for everybody called Soylent Green. Well, it turns out that Soylent Green was recycled bodies, and it was cannibalism. Mm-hmm. And when Charlton Heston finds this out, he tries to alert everybody. But it was the idea that nothing is sacred, that we live in a secular culture, and the body is merely an animal, and you're there to further the species. There was no honor. There was no view of you are created. You are just to be used. And that was the whole point of Soylent Green.
So they were living out their worldview. Now Yes. We need to live out ours.
Yes. And there's a great song that's just come out. It's a Southern gospel song called Thinking Outside the Box. And that song is really a good song. Mm-hmm. If you have heaven on your mind, I think one of the lines goes, if you have heaven on your mind when you die, you're going to be thinking outside the box.
Which means you're going to be resurrected.
You're going to be resurrected. You're going to have that little button that says resurrect me on your jacket. You can be dressed up in your suit, but you're going to be thinking outside the box.
All dressed up and ready to go.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
We're getting resurrected, baby.
Yeah.
See, that's the worldview we need to retain day by day. And friends, there is a connection between your faith and the way that you live, your faith and the culture that you live out. And that's the problem with so much of the modern world. They're living out the wrong ideas, the wrong worldview.
They're in despair.
Therefore, they're representing the wrong culture.
Yeah.
Get a copy of The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? It's my book on culture. And be more discerning and live out your faith in real Christian culture. So get a copy of The Tattooed Jesus at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.